Hi everyone, my name is Brandon Lee, and today I'll be talking about the simulation of helium in fusion reactor materials. First off, why do we care about nuclear fusion? So it's the process that powers our sun. If we can make it work reliably on Earth, it could produce nearly unlimited carbon-free energy. Pictured here on the slide is a cross-section graphic of a tokamak, a type of fusion reactor. These machines are very complex, as you can see. My work applies to the pink component at the bottom here, which wraps all the way around. This component is called the diverter. The diverter helps remove heat and product gas, which is primarily helium, from the reaction vessel. And the diverter is generally made out of tungsten, since tungsten has a very high melting point and good thermal conductivity, among some other factors. But there's a problem. It turns out that when helium irradiates tungsten, a nanotendril network dubbed fuzz can grow from the surface. This is of concern, since this high void fraction material will not transfer heat as well as bulk tungsten, and the tendrils could break off and contaminate the plasma. We currently don't understand the physics of fuzz formation. We would like to develop models that can predict its formation and behavior accurately to inform fusion reactor material design. There are a number of different modeling approaches currently in use. My work focuses on molecular dynamics. We essentially evaluate Newton's second law with interatomic potentials to look for emergent properties of helium and tungsten. The overarching goal of this technique is to identify and hopefully quantify important phenomena so they can be incorporated into coarser grain models that are able to simulate length and time scales more directly relevant to fusion reactors. These are some specs for my simulated system. It is a block of tungsten 20 by 20 nanometers in the plasma-facing direction and 16 nanometers deep. We simulate the implantation of 100 electron volt helium atoms over time. This energy is relevant to fusion reactors. The flux we use is much higher than that typically used in experiment. This serves to accelerate our calculations. The fluence, which you can essentially think of as simulated time, reached in these simulations is much lower than that typically seen in experiment due to computational constraints. However, this fluence is significantly higher than what is typically achieved in molecular dynamics studies, so we are able to see some interesting things in the outputs. I would like to share some of these interesting observations with you. First, we see four helium bubbles whose diameters are roughly 10 nanometers, which is comparable to experimental measurements of cavities in irradiated tungsten. Seeing anything of experimental scale in simulations of this scale is quite unique. In the following images, I have hidden the tungsten atoms for ease of viewing. Helium atoms near the surface are red and those deeper are blue. The first large bubble wraps across all four corners of the simulation box, which has periodic boundary conditions. The second bubble wraps across one set of periodic boundaries and is much deeper than the first. The third bubble appears in the middle of the system and is the largest bubble observed. The fourth bubble wraps across one set of periodic boundaries. Note that this bubble grows in the cavity left behind after the second bubble I showed you burst. In fact, each of these four bubbles formed by the same mechanism. They fill in the cavities created by prior bursts, whose lids, as they are sometimes called, had healed over time. This happens because helium does not, air quotes, like being in tungsten. The helium atoms will tend to move toward any gaps in the tungsten lattice and each other. These bubbles vented between 7,900 and 11,800 helium atoms each when they burst, which are significant fractions of the system helium inventory. Here was the first burst, the second, third, and the fourth. The second observation. Each of these large bubbles were held back from bursting by very thin tungsten membranes, only 1 to 2 atoms thick for short times. This is the area above the first large bubble. Tungsten atoms are shown in red and helium atoms are shown in blue. Note that the membrane holding back the bubble from bursting, which is shown in the frame on the right, is 1 atom thick in some places. Remember, these bubbles reach pressures of tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of atmospheres. The third observation, one bubble burst can directly cause another. This is far more rare than you may think. Here are the bubbles of interest. I have again hidden the tungsten atoms. Red helium atoms are near the surface and blue helium atoms are deeper. The bubble indicated by the right arrow bursts first. This causes the bubble indicated by the left arrow to burst. I'll now zoom in and show you snapshots of this occurring. I have changed the color scheme to one that looks better close up. The blue atoms are helium, with deeper atoms shaded darker. The bubble that bursts first is on the left. The red atoms are tungsten. All other tungsten atoms except those shaded in red are hidden for clarity. For the right-hand image, all atoms except the red tungsten are hidden. You are standing, so to speak, inside the bubble that bursts second, facing the bubble that bursts first. Notice that we again see a membrane only 1 atom thick in its thinnest area. Moving forward in time, the first bubble has burst by this snapshot. Notice the membrane flexing under the tremendous pressure of the right-hand bubble. Moving forward again, less than 5 picoseconds this time, the second bubble is mid-burst. Surprisingly, no tungsten sputters during this process. Also note that I reran this segment of the simulation several times to see if the same results would occur. I found that the lag time between the first bubble burst and the second bubble burst varies significantly. In one case, the second bubble burst almost instantly. In another case, it did not burst at all, at least in the 380 picoseconds or so that I simulated following the first burst. In conclusion, we have seen that bubbles with diameters of approximately 10 nanometers should likely be modeled in coarser grain simulation techniques, as their occurrence is not infrequent. The formation of these large bubbles is driven by helium atoms filling in and expanding the cavities left behind by prior bursts. We've also seen that one bubble burst can directly cause another bubble burst. Finally, extremely thin tungsten membranes show up in several places in these simulations and seem to primarily affect the precise timing of bubble bursting. While we do not believe these timing effects will cause significant statistical variations in long-time runs, they should nevertheless be kept in mind. And that is all I have. Thank you for watching.